It is my prayer that all of us will be edified by what we are about to look at. So wherever you are, I will entreat you to bow down your heads as we share a word of prayer. My Lord and my Father in heaven, I would like to say thank you to you for what you've done, continue doing in our lives. As human beings, we are always sinners, but by the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our Son, we have been justified and we have been counted worthy to live in this point in time of world history. There are so many things the Bible has said about. There are so many things the prophets of old have prophesied about. And we are seeing these things with our own eyes. Dear Lord, some of these things, we don't even recognize them. So I plead with you that, Father, you give us the spirit of discernment, that we will be able to discern what is around us and what they mean to our spiritual growth. Tonight, I am but an empty vessel. Speak through me, to me, and to the hearts and minds open to listen to your word. Let people hear the voice of Jesus Christ, that sweetest voice that wake up the dead from the grave, that give hope to hopelessness, and that encourage the discouraged and bring the downtrodden back home. Thank you so much for this evening. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Friends, wherever you are, take your Bibles and open with me to Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. And I read on the screen. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God, that you who have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your work perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you do not repent, I will come upon you as a thief and will not know what hour I will come upon you. What hour I will come upon you. But you have a few names. Inside is who have not defiled, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen.
Amen.
Friends, when I was going through this test, my heart was saddened. My heart was saddened. Why? You may ask why. The dead church, a living church, but now is dead. A dead church. How can the church of God be dead? How can the people of God be dead? Despite the studies of the scriptures, despite the exegesis of the prophecies, despite all that we've been preaching about, the faithful witness says that the church actually is dead. These things says he who has seven spirits of God. You know what? When we talk about seven spirits, people may think there are seven spirits of God. But in actual fact, there's only one Spirit of God. And the seven is a symbol of perfection and completeness. The Holy Spirit in there, or the seven spirit that you read, is a symbolic or reference to the Holy Spirit. The meaning is that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit that we know about, is perfect and complete in every sense. It doesn't matter how we look at him. It doesn't matter how we talk about him. People think that the Holy Spirit is actually a vapor or air. But don't forget, Christ presented him as an entity. Christ presented him as a human being. That can be grieved. So the Holy Spirit we are talking about is not any power, but it's talking about the third part of the Revelation chapter 1, verse 4 to 5. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. This statement is about God the Father. But when you continue, it says, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. That's the Holy Spirit. Then verse 5 says that from Jesus Christ, who is faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and of the prince of the kings of the earth. So right there in Revelation chapter 1, we see the Trinity presented to us. So the seven spirit actually is not the seven spirits as you may know about or you have read about. It's talking about the completeness and the Holy Spirit of God. As I said, the number seven is a number of perfection. Remember, when God created the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything within them, he rested on the seventh day. Why? Because the seventh day is a symbol of perfection, completeness of everything God has done. So when you go through the Bible, you come across sevens or multiple sevens. They all represent God's figure or God number as embodiment of perfection, embodiment of completeness. So never deceive. If somebody tells you the Holy Spirit is seven persons, no, it's not like that. The faithful witness says that I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. The church has a name. The church is famous. Because of its work in the society, in the world, the church has a name, that it is alive. But the faithful witness, Jesus Christ, is saying that the church is dead. At times, as a church, as people of God, we try to expand our influences in the community. We try to let people know that, yes, we are there. We try to offer some services to community in which we are, to let the society know that, yes, these people are Seventh-day Adventists. They are all good. But the faithful witness is saying that the church may be dead. Despite all those things, a dead church. You look at it, come together and worship and fellowship. You may think that the church is alive, but Christ says the church is dead. Why? Jesus Christ has life in himself. The Father has life in himself. The Holy Spirit has life in himself. And when the Trinity is in the church is alive. But when we push God aside from the church may be in existence, but dead. And it's my humble prayer that our church in Bedford Central will be alive in Jesus' name. It is my prayer that elder, sister, brother, you will be alive, not in the eyes of men, but in the eyes of God. It is quite a serious statement of God. Most Christians are alive, but they are dead in the sight of God. But it's my prayer that I will be alive in the eyes of God, and when people do not recognize me, as if I'm dead, praise be to God. If you want people to praise you, to recognize you, it is good. But when they do not do that, but you are doing well this in the sight of God, thanks be to God for that. For one, what can man do to you? What can man do to you? Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. You know, there's a caution. Yes, the church is dead, but still there are few people who are still struggling to be alive. That person may be you. That person may be the deaconess. That person may be an elder. That person may be that youth leader. That person may be a young adult. That person may be the pastor. We are all struggling to be alive. But a church in the spiritual sense is dead. And he's asking us to be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. I don't know about you, but to me, when I reflect on the church, as I have known it for a long time, I think something's wrong with our churches. Something's wrong. Something serious is wrong with the church. I don't know about you. Is it because the church is trying to die? But remember, it will not die completely. But there will still be men and women, children and youth who are in the church, whom the Lord has seen. Be watchful and strengthen the things which are about to die. In Matthew 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord will come. Friends, I do not know when Jesus Christ will come. I do not know when I will die. So no one knows when Christ will come and when she or he will die. The Bible says that we should be watchful. What is strengthening our faith in him? In Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13, there is a pathetic story over there. It's talk about the 10 virgins. The 10 virgins took their lamps to go and wait for the bridegroom. The bridegroom tarried and delayed. All the 5, 10 virgins, they were all tired. They all slumbered. They all slept. Friends, they were watching. They were watching for the bridegroom to come. They were watching for their Messiah. Remember, the 10 virgins represent the church. The 10 virgins represent the church. And he's saying that 5 of them were wise. Why? And 5 of them were foolish. They were wise not because they did not slumber. They were wise not because they did not sleep. They were wise not because they were not tired of watching and waiting. They were wise because they watched and had extra oil for the lamp. Friends, watchful alone is not enough. Watching alone is not enough, but you need to strengthen the things that are about to die in you. When we are watching and waiting. We need to strengthen ourselves. I've come across people who have said, there's nothing difficult in this world than what, if you want to expect something to happen to you, or if you are waiting for somebody who have asked you to wait for him or her, and the person is not coming, by the time they're just running out. Today, thank you, Ada Ima, for reminding us of fear and anxiety. Look at what's around us. We are all fearful. We are all anxious. What is coming to happen next year or even by the end of the year? We are all fearful. But the Savior says that watch and strengthen the things that are about to die. My friends, my elders, church members, my loved ones, let's wake up. The day is far spent. The night is very near. Let's strengthen ourselves and fortify our faith in Jesus Christ and His Word. Else, we cannot stand for Him in that day. Those women, they were wise because they had extra oil. They were proactive Christians. They prepared themselves in advance. They watched and strengthened themselves behind the curtain. People who don't know, yes, today, pastors are sleeping, elders are sleeping, church members are sleeping. But when the bridegroom comes, you see those who are sincerely watching and waiting for the Maker. He says, I have not found your work complete or perfect. You know, when you are building a house and a house, you can't sleep in it. So the Savior is saying, the faithful witness says that, I have not found your work complete. Yes, I know. You are Seventh-day Adventist woman. You are Seventh-day Adventist elder and man. But your work is not complete. Friends, when is your work going to be completed? The Savior says that, I have not found your work complete. You are not perfect. But He says that, therefore, that's Matthew 5:48. Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Perfection comes from above. So if I want to be perfect, I cannot be perfect on my own accord. I have to seek the face of the perfect God, the perfect Spirit, the perfect Christ, the perfect Father, who will endow me and strengthen me and put on me His perfection. That I will be perfect. I have not found your work perfect in my sight. You know what? At times, we think that we are doing enough for Christ. But what you are doing cannot earn you salvation. Whatever we are doing cannot earn our salvation. But when we fix our gaze upon the face of Jesus Christ, our perfection and our salvation is guaranteed. I've heard people saying that you cannot be perfect. You cannot be perfect. Wow. But Matthew says that, therefore, you shall be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. So how can you be perfect, sister? How can you be perfect, elder? How can you be perfect? Look at who you are, where you are coming from. We have mingled with sin, actually, it's part in our DNA. We can't go anywhere without sinning. When we open our mouth, what comes out is sin. When you put on our clothes, what we put on is sin. No wonder. Prophet Isaiah chapter 6 says that, woe unto me, for I am unclean, and my lips is unclean. And I live in a people of unclean lips. But you know what? The seraphim just flow from heaven and touch him with the cold from the fire, from the altar. And he said, because of what I have done for you, you are cleansed. When Christ cleanses me, I shall be perfect. So as when Christ cleanses you, you shall be perfect, and your work will be perfect in his sight. Remember, therefore, I love this word, remember. Christ or God recognize the fact that we are forgetful people. It doesn't matter how good he offers us. It doesn't matter how love he bestowed upon us. It doesn't matter how he treats us. We still forget. So he said, don't forget, but remember. Remember how much you have received. Remember how much you have heard. Seventh-day Adventist Christians, remember, for we have received a lot. We have heard a lot. Look at Sabbath school. We can dissect and the Sabbath school to the entail of it. But we always forget what we have studied. But a faithful witness says that you should not forget. So remember, I am the Lord, creator of heavens and the earth. Remember that I have redeemed you by my straight hand. Remember that you have been bought, you have been redeemed, not by the blood of goats or camel, not by the blood of any animals, but by the blood of my precious son. Remember that I love you so much that I came down from my throne and died for you. Remember that you have heard that I am the God Almighty. I never change this. So ask my word. Remember that I am who I am. And whether the world likes it or not, I will come the second time. Remember that I am your Savior. And therefore, if you look unto me, I will still get hold of you. I watch at your back. For everyone to whom much has been given, from him much will be required. To whom much has been committed. Seventh-day Adventist Christians are in danger. We are in danger. Because, friends, much has been given unto us. Much has been given unto you. And Christ is going to ask much from me and you. The my question tonight is, are you ready to give much when he requires? Are you ready? Remember that one day Christ will come the second time. Remember, hold fast and repent. When you remember how the Lord has been so gracious unto you, then you must hold fast and repent. Hold fast and repent. Seeing then that who has passed through the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, let us hold fast our confession. Let us hold fast what we believe. Let us hold fast what we have been given. For one day is going to require them from us. Hold fast and repent. Don't just neglect your Bible studies. Don't just neglect the assemblies of the faithful. Don't just neglect the precious studies and teachings that you have heard and have been given. For one day, you are going to account for all that we have received. Remember that this world will never remain as it is. Remember that King Jesus will come. Hold fast and repent. Hold fast and repent. If you will not repent, or if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief. What does that statement mean? I will come upon you as a thief. How does a thief come? They come in the night. They come when you are not aware. But when you are watching, you should be aware that Christ is coming. When you are watching, coronavirus must tell you that Christ is coming. when you are watching, whatever you are hearing in your ears, whatever we are talking about, must be a warning to you that Christ Savior, our Savior of the world, is coming. When you are watching, things will not take you unawares. I can tell you Christ will come coming because they will be watching. All the signs have been given unto us. So when you look at the signs, it should prompt you something actually is happening. Something actually is happening. Coronavirus, I've been telling people, I don't care where it came from. There's a lot of theories about where coronavirus came from. I don't mind where it came from. But what I am concerned of and about is the aftermath of coronavirus. It's the aftermath of the coronavirus. What coronavirus will leave to us? Because of the coronavirus, since March, we've not been able to come together in our place of worship. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. If the devil thought that he was bringing that our faith will be quenched because we will not have time to meet. Praise be to God. Now, in every platform, in every visual platform, there is a church. So praise be to God. The Lord has made a provision for his people. So it's a privilege for me and you to be partakers of this provision of God. But he's saying that if we do not watch, he will come upon us as a thief. And we will not know what hour he will come. Christ said, no one knows the hour and the time and the Son of Man shall come the second time. But here he's saying that if we do not watch, he will come like a thief. Christ to come upon me as a thief, and we will not know the hour he will come upon us. Do we know the hour? We don't know the hour, but what we know is that whatever is happening in the economy of the world, financial institutions, everything of these things is giving us a message. Don't let these messages go unnoticed. Do not let them pass by you unnoticed. Learn something from it and be watchful in these last days. Else, Christ will come and you may think, oh, this one, we have talked about it in church, but now it's here with us. You talk about, sis, you talk about all those things, but these things are real. They are happening behind the curtain. Be watchful. Be watchful. This is what Jesus is saying. Despite the condition of the church of Sidis, you have a few names even inside this. Elder, pastor, sister, there are a few names in the church who have not defiled their garment. Christ has put on us a garment. Have you defiled your garment? That garment of righteousness, where is yours? Have you defiled yours? But Christ is saying, yes, the church is dead. But because there are few people inside this who have not defiled their garment, I am with them. May the Lord be with you. Don't defile your garment. Even when the heaven falls and the earth depart, maintain your garment. Maintain your garment of righteousness, and you have the key. Kingdom. It could be an elder, it could be a sister, it could be a brother. Let me see what he's saying here. Yes. If you maintain your garment, you shall walk with me in white. For you will be worthy. You shall be worthy. Those who are able to keep them, be still, what Christ in white, for they are ready. They shall be clothed in white garments. I want to walk with Jesus when we are marching into Zion. When we are singing, we are marching in Zion. I want to. So it's my humble prayer that God help me to overcome my weaknesses, things that I have been doing in secret, things that people will not see, things that I know they are wrong in the sight of God, but I've been dodging myself in it. Please, if you are like me, hear Jesus, and he will give you strength and power to overcome that. I will not blot out their names from the book of life. Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It is the will of God, the Father, that you shall be saved. It is the will of God, the Father, that every man born or woman born on this planet shall be saved. So the moment you are conceived in the womb of your mother, your name is recorded in the book of life. But when you are born, depending on how you lead your life, will determine whether your name shall be blotted out or your name will still remain. The book of Exodus chapter 32, verse 32 says that Moses told God, "You are not going to lead us. If you are going to destroy all these people, then Lord, blot out my name from the book of life." Moses was very aware and sure, very sure of it, that his name was in the book of life. My question this evening to myself and to you is that, are you aware or are you sure that your name is in the book of life? Is your name in the book of life, or it has been blotted out? You know it, but even if it is blotted out, I would like to encourage you, as long as you live, as long as there's still breath in your nostrils, tell Jesus and repent, and he will add or rewritten your name in the book of life. I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I shall, or will, before my Father and before his angels. Christ Jesus will confess our names before God. When is that? You see, we know that Christ is in the holiest of holies, interceding for me and for you. Our names are being confessed every now and then if we are faithful. When your name is confessed before the Father, our God in heaven, you'll be counted among the righteous. You'll be counted among the saints living. You do not need to die before you become saints. But as you live, you are a saint of God, as long as you remain faithful to God. So count yourself a blessed that you are a saint of God. You are not just any human being. You are not just any other human being, but you are a saint bought by the blood of Jesus and adopted. But you are a child of God. You are a daughter of the Most High God. You are a prince and you are a princess of the Most High. So live your life accordingly. Don't just play around like people who have no hope, but live as people who have hope in God. Prince Williams shall never be found in any other contest. It's not everywhere that you find Prince Williams. You see him on television, but most of us, you haven't even seen him face to face. Why? Because he is a prince. And he must live according to the custom of priesthood. So if you are a prince of God, if you are a daughter and princess of God, God expects me and you to live our lives as his children. And I pray you help me to do that as he has ordained. Now, to you, elder, pastor, my friend, church member of Belfort Central SDA Church, will your name be blotted out or it will remain the book of life? It's a question that each individual needs to answer for him or herself. Is your name still in the book of life or is it blotted out? If you think you are not very sure of it and there's still life in you, then I would like to encourage you, go down on your knees and repent. Tell Jesus. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. When we confess our sins, is just and righteous to forgive all of us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. From all unrighteousness. There's no time to mingle in sin. Christ wants us to repent and hold fast what we have believed. The songwriter says that the judgment is set. The books have been opened. How shall we stand in that great day of judgment? How shall we stand in that great day of judgment? If you think Christ is coming and be seated in the U.S. or Jerusalem in Israel for you to go to him for judgment, you are lying. If that's how people think, it's a fallacy. It's not true. As I speak with you, Christ is in the holiest of holies, judging us. No wonder the songwriter had a vision and recorded this sweat. The books have been opened. How shall we stand in that great day when every thought and every word and every action God the righteous judge shall weigh? When Christ weighs you tonight, where shall you stand? When Christ weighs me tonight, where shall I stand? Shall I be found wanting? Or shall I remain as a faithful servant of the Lord? As we are about to go to our bed, friends, I would like to encourage you tonight, have a chat with God. Talk to him like a friend. Talk to him like a brother. To him like a God, and pour your heart before him. It's very near where you are. You are hearing me. Christ is very near you. You can say in your heart, you can say a prayer in your heart, Lord, I've gone too far. I need to come home. I've missed the point. Have mercy upon me. Get hold of my hands and draw me closer to your bleeding side. And cleanse me from my weaknesses. I want to walk with you in that day. I want to keep my soil, keep my garment out of soiled. I want to be a saint of God and live aright and live accordingly. Are you that soul? Are you that person? Tomorrow is Sabbath. Sunday will come and we finish on Sunday. But these 2 days ahead, take a decision for Christ. If you are hearing my voice, it's not my voice. Hear the voice of Jesus. Hear the voice of Jesus. My voice may reach, but the sweetest view will lift you out from your grave, will lift you out from your sin, and pamper you like a son or a daughter, a precious son of God, a saint of the Most High God. Live your life like a prince or a princess, for you have been bought by the blood of Jesus. And remember, before you were formed in the womb of your mother, your name had been recorded in the book of life. God had good intention about you, that you shall be saved. He doesn't want you to go to the fire. He wants to save you alive. And not only that, but he wants to walk with you into Zion. He wants to walk with you into Zion. Are you prepared to walk with Christ? Are you sure to walk with Christ? Is it your dream to walk with Christ one day? If that's your dream, wherever you are, while I'm giving about 3 seconds, communicate to your Savior. You know where you are faulty. You know where you've gone wrong. You know how far you've been. But Christ is saying that, come home and I shall receive you. Yeah, I know you have gone too far. Come home and I'll touch you with my hand. Come home and I'll never leave you. Return to me and leave. Return to me and leave. Elder, sister, brother, the Lord is speaking to you. Bow down your heads. Just about a few seconds. Communicate. Chat with your Savior.
The judgment is set. The books have been opened. How shall we stand in the